Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
A new report from the North Carolina Early Childhood Foundation finds that many students in North Carolina are struggling because they are not able to come to school. Chronic absenteeism is not often discussed in education policy circles, but it has major implications for student achievement, and there are no easy solutions to address it. Tracy Zimmerman with the foundation joins us now to talk about it. Well, Tracy, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Let's talk about the issue of chronic absence in North Carolina schools. What prompted this report, or why did you start looking at this?
Yeah, so chronic absence is a real significant problem, and it's one that impacts third grade reading. It's also one of these issues that is in some ways low-hanging fruit that we can actually deal with. And so because it's so significant, there's plenty of research that shows kids, it makes sense, right? If you're chronically absent, you may not do as well in school. It also impacts the other kids who are in the classroom because teachers are having to repeat and help kids catch up. But it's also an issue that is driven and caused by many community factors. So it's things like health, it's things like family and community transportation, school environment. So there's a lot out there, and timing-wise, there was an opportunity for states to include measures like chronic absenteeism in their accountability systems under the new Every Student Succeeds Act.
How big a problem is it? I mean, do we have some mm-hmm. idea of what sort of magnitude we're talking about?
Yeah, so the data is a couple years old because it comes from the Office of Civil Rights, and districts were required to report that directly to the feds. I want to share the caveat that the data is not excellent. It's one of the things we're calling out, is because there's not really a system or definition or a consistent way to collect data. So in North Carolina, it is about 1 in 8 young students. So we looked at schools that have kindergarten, first and second or third grades in them. So we're looking primarily at young children. It's about 1 in 8. But when you, as you should with all data, once you start to break it down and you look at different populations, in some counties, it can go as high as 25, 26% for some of our students. So that means they're missing at least 15 days or more of school in a year.
You mentioned when you break it down, is it more prevalent in low-income areas?
No. Yeah, we do see it more prevalent in low-income areas. There's a little less of a racial ethnic difference. There are some in terms of, it's interesting, in you can designate two or more races, but in terms of between Black and white children, it's pretty even. Hispanic children actually have the lowest rates.
You mentioned sort of a general statement about the causes. I guess it's hard to pinpoint one thing, isn't it? There's not one thing we can solve.
That's exactly right. So I want to go back and say the other thing that is so important about this issue is it's one of the few that is truly an early warning sign for young children. So we know, we start with most of our accountability looking at third grade test scores. Well, we already know in many ways that's too late. So how do you start identifying kids much earlier? And chronic absenteeism is actually a really easy early identifier to get in more quickly. There is no one cause. The other thing about this, I think there's a perception issue, is one, I just want to clear up, it is a problem in North Carolina. Some people think it's not, and it is actionable. And so when you say, how do you do it? You have to actually engage your community and figure out what the causes are. And so, for example, this was not in North Carolina, but one community found that many of their students were absent towards the end of the month. And what they found out was that kids didn't have clean clothing. And so they actually installed washer and dryers within the school, which changed, not only improved attendance, but it changed the dynamic of the school. And in fact, Whirlpool has a program now. They don't do a lot of publicity around it, but it's around this very topic of making clean clothes accessible in school. Now, it may not be that in every community. In North Carolina, for example, one of our districts took the time and looked and saw that a lot of their kindergarten students were suspended in the beginning of the year. And why? Because they didn't have their health assessments turned in. And what they did was they realized that pediatricians were not aware that this was actually a requirement. They weren't prioritizing these appointments necessarily, community providers, and they engaged in a tremendous outreach to their community and drastically reduced the number of kids that were not allowed in school just because they didn't have their health assessment.
Family health issues must be another issue, just in terms of being able to see a doctor, the health of their parents. I guess all that must be related.
Absolutely. Children live in families. And so the family health, whether it be physical health or economic health or community health, certainly weighs into this. Things like transportation weigh into this. So research has found for kindergarten students, those who ride the bus attend much more regularly, for example, than those who do not. So there's a lot of various ways to, I think, address chronic absenteeism, but you do have to start with bringing in your community and families and understanding the root of some of the problems. And when you do that, you also address so many other things within schools. The other piece is discipline, because we do have young children who are suspended or mostly suspended or disciplined in other ways. That counts when you're not, it doesn't matter why you're not in school. If you're not in the classroom, it counts towards chronic absence, even excused.
It's interesting how we used to, that used to be a common, still is, I guess, a punishment, which the kid's not doing what he's supposed to be doing in school, we're not going to let him go to school. It always struck me as an odd punishment.
It is, and particularly in young children, right? When kids are misbehaving, you know, there's North Carolina actually has some districts who are doing a tremendous amount around trauma-informed schools, where the question isn't, why are you behaving this way, but more about what happened and understanding that. So, yes.
You mentioned some of the communities in North Carolina and across the country are coming together in different ways. So that makes me wonder, are there things that we can do at a statewide or a school district level, or does it have to come up from each individual community?
There are definitely things we can do from a statewide level. And in fact, 2/3 of states did include chronic absenteeism in their accountability systems under the Every Student Succeeds Act. North Carolina did not. However, in fact, we only included academic measures. We are one of 9 states that did not include any child well-being measures. That said, there is a much greater openness and willingness to talk about this issue. We're seeing lots of folks, the school board, the superintendent, and others who want to think about this. So some of the starting points are, one, let's just have a uniform definition of what chronic absence is. Right now, we do not have a state definition of chronic absence. And that's obviously a key part to collecting data so we know what the problem actually is. We need to raise it as an issue. You know, parents of all backgrounds are not necessarily aware of how often their children miss school or the fact that excused absences are still your children not in school. So we need to really build awareness about that. And we need to, I think, as a state, particularly from the messages we're sending out, not be viewing this from a punitive perspective, but much more from a encouragement and way to promote attendance. So that's another piece. I think the other is making sure this data is readily available. Right now, parents can access attendance data if their school district has opted to have the parent portal for home-based power schools. That's up to the district. And then that means a parent has to, one, have internet access, to go into the, you have to go into the school to sign up for power schools and then log in and check your attendance. So there's a lot of steps there. So we need to make this information accessible to parents. We should think about our compulsory age. So there are several things we outlined in our report. It's attendance counts, several things that the state could consider. Attendance Works is a national group, and they have a self-assessment. And that's basically what we used for this report, to look at where are we both from a state level, a district level, and they actually also school levels, to think about what your policies are.
Well, it's fascinating information. Let's hope that our policymakers are listening, and we appreciate you doing this and appreciate you being with us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Up next, a new documentary about North Carolina and sea level rise. Stay tuned.